All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Leroy, can we get a weather update, please? Brought to us by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Hurricane season is here. Make sure your roof and windows are ready. Call 954-968-8155 for a free estimate.
It is partly cloudy. It looks like we got a chance for rain later on in the day because it's not as sunny as it's been. Winds are hardly moving anything, but I'm looking at clouds kind of moving from the northwest, barely moving though. And I would say right now it's 88 degrees.
Handsome Davy says, what kind of friends are you? Because we didn't know Marcus's birthday. I'm sorry, dude. The only reason I know Leroy's birthday is because it's my daughter's
birthday.
It's like, yeah. Do you know my birthday?
No.
Do you know what month it is?
Isn't it January?
No, not even close, dude.
I know it's in the fall.
It is in the fall. That is true.
Because I remember being during heat season.
It is. Hold on. I think it's October.
It is October.
Okay.
You are correct. Yeah. You are correct. But the point is, like, I don't think that's a judgment of friendship.
I think it is.
The only reason I know that I know Leroy's birthday is because he shares a birthday with my daughter.
Yeah.
Do you know Jennifer's birthday?
Me? Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
Is her birthday in January?
Oh my God. Leroy, you're awful. I didn't think everybody was born.
March? I want to say March. It's not March. February?
Nope.
April.
Yes.
I knew it was spring.
Wow. Yeah, April.
Oh, well.
You know who else's birthday is on Sophia and my birthday? Jerron. Remember Jerron?
I do. I see Jerron all the time at the Heat games.
Yeah, no dreads.
I know.
Yeah.
Jennifer's offended. We don't know.
Yeah, Jen's birthday is April 19th.
Whatever, dude. She didn't even put Leroy's birthday in the newsletter.
Yeah.
I don't know either of your birthdays, listen, if I'm honest.
Can I just say this, Jennifer? As a person who you've worked with a long time, hung out with, broke bread with, who's never been in the newsletter.
Yep.
Why don't you pipe down a little bit?
Right.
Wait, so are you a Libra or a Scorpio?
I'm a Scorpio.
Mm.
Yep. You just had a birthday. I know that. Right?
No.
Didn't you just have a birthday?
Why did we start?
I feel like she just had a birthday.
Wait.
Didn't you just go somewhere for your birthday?
No.
June?
No.
May?
Nope. April? I literally said it 5 minutes ago.
Did she really?
I said, when you said February, I said my birthday's in February.
Nah, you went somewhere this summer for your birthday, dude.
Nope.
I think you're making
it up. Her birthday's not in the summer.
Interesting.
My birthday's not in the summer. My birthday is February 7th.
No, he says he remembers some dude, Jerron's birthday. That's because our birthday's on the same day.
My birthday's February 7th. It's a week before Valentine's Day, Super Bowl weekend. It's really easy to remember.
And I should know Jennifer's birthday because she's one day before the cutoff. If she was on the 20th, she'd be a Taurus.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You guys believe in that hocus pocus nonsense?
I do.
Really?
I don't.
I have no idea what it is.
I'm an Aquarius.
Everybody tells me, oh, you must be a Taurus.
Yeah, you're given Taurus, buddy.
What the hell does that mean?
Your birthday's the 8th, the 28th?
Yes.
Who, not yours is the 28th?
Mine is the 28th.
Oh, yes. I thought Leroy's was the 28th.
No, he's the 15th.
Mine is the 15th.
I'm sorry.
Of May.
My apologies.
The point is, now you can see why we didn't remember Frog Boy's birthday.
Yeah, you guys are terrible.
Sorry. It's a guy. I don't think many people know their best friend's birthday.
Can I just say this? Me and Robert and Harold, we all text each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And one of the three of us, when it's the other one's birthday, will text the following day and say, ooh, forgot it was your birthday.
I would be cooked without Facebook.
Like, and we hung out all the time. So
I did that the other day in the hallway with Ashley O. I was like, birthday? She goes, it was yesterday. I was like, happy birthday. Because I would have no idea on birthdays if it wasn't for Facebook.
Yeah, because she's back in the building every day, right?
She is. She's here every day. Yeah. She's now doing Light FM.
Okay.
Seen her a bunch. Yep. But I was like, birthday? Because otherwise, if it wasn't for Facebook, I'd have no idea people's birthday. And then some people don't, when they put their fake birthdays on there, I'm cooked.
Or when they don't even put your birthday in there at all.
Right. Right. Like the newsletter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Jennifer got offended that we didn't know her birthday.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. She didn't even publish hers.
Yeah. No.
But she got you a cake. So I suggest you pipe it down a bit.
It was a guilt cake.
She got me a cake.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. Miami, the Domino's game. You'll always find your abuelito. Whenever you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Kia. Marlins lose yesterday, 6-4. Let's hear from old Clayton McCullough after the loss and some of his thoughts.
Back-to-back, just tough games. What do you think is preventing you guys from finishing one here?
That was another good ball game, and I think, you know, a lot of credit to, you know, Philly for them for, you know, hanging in there, and they get a hit by pitch lead off the inning, and then they just really strung some good at-bats together and, got some knocks and were able to, you know, have the one big inning in the game. So, I mean, a lot of times one inning in a game can decide things, and tonight they were, you know, able to do that there in the middle part and, just couldn't quite get over the hump, but I think it was another, well played game. But again, loss is a loss, and it'll sting.
Big Mike's inning. Do you tip their cap to some of their ABs there?
I do. I mean, we've seen how good Mike's been this year, and they got it done, and they did. They just put good at bats together, and used a big part of the field, and were able to find some holes. And so credit to them for able to do that against a guy who's really been on a good run and had a great year.
How did you configure the arm side? I know we were expecting to see Tyler Phillips at some point in the bowl.
Yeah, so I thought about Philly and Gibby was going to go the first seven hitters and then go to Zuber there, and I think and it kind of got back around after the Trey Turner at bat, kind of see where the game was, and I think then we felt like depending on score and whatnot, we'd run some other guys, and so I think just looked at trying to win every moment we could, as long as we could, and just see what the score, game state, and all, look like. And, guys, I think really all threw the ball well tonight. They just were able to cash in.
What's that
offense? Very frustrating. You have a lead. So, need this one today. Sandy on the hill, 6:05 is your first pitch, and hopefully they can get that one done. I know we were all lacking this in our life, but ESPN today, it was reported, they are going to add a really under-the-radar voice for Monday Night Football. Pat McAfee has been added to the Monday Night Football desk. So really...
You're joking.
Really great to see more.
You're joking.
More Pat McAfee. No, I'm not. No.
Is it like, not to, sorry, this is going to come off so bad, but is it just like Monday Night Football's goal to just put the worst... broadcasting group together?
You know what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to recreate when Monday Night Football first came out. You had the play-by-play guy, you had the analysis, and then you had the other guy who was a former player, but he was kind of the funny, fun guy. You know what I mean?
Isn't that what Kelsey's supposed to be? I thought Jason Kelsey was supposed to be fun guy.
Yeah. So it's going to be Kelsey and...
So here's the team. This is the desk team. It's Scott Van Pelt, Jason Kelsey, Marcus Spears, Jason McCourty, and now, of course...
but that's just the... They're not... He's not doing the game.
No. The game is still Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. But...
I thought you said he was going to be in the booth.
No, I didn't.
No, he said the desk.
I said the desk.
The desk. Sorry. Okay.
But this is the last year on Troy Aikman's contract, and suffice to say, Pat McAfee will be in that booth next year.
Oh,
either with Troy Aikman.
That's just awful.
Either with Troy Aikman or without Troy Aikman. Pat McAfee.
If that happens, I'm watching the Mannings.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I really can't stand him, you guys.
How can you not like the job Troy Aikman has done?
No, I'm not saying...
Troy Aikman has done a fantastic job, but Troy Aikman, unfortunately, works for ESPN, who seems obsessed with putting as much Pat McAfee in our lives as possible. So when I see Pat McAfee's on the desk, that lets me know, like, oh, we're 1 year away from Pat McAfee being in the booth. Like, that's what they're going to do. Now, there's going to be a lot of shuffling next year, too, because, like, three of the booths are up on contracts. And so I would imagine there's going to be a lot of poaching anyway. Like, so Troy and Joe may go to Fox or something like that, or they may go to CBS or something like that. There could be a lot of shuffling around in the NFL broadcast circles, but McAfee's going to be in that booth next year for sure. He's going to, I mean, like, how many big grains are falling? Because he's going to fall asleep at one of these jobs.
I'm just curious as to, like, how many people could actually do that job and like, do the job that, say, a Troy Aikman does?
That's the best. They did a bunch of combos for a while on Monday Night Football after losing Gruden, and they really just couldn't find it up until just getting Buck and Aikman from Fox. Like, they tried. Right. Remember, they tried Jason Witten, Booger McFarlane. It's just, they just never could find the, they did like Lewis Riddick. Like, they just couldn't find the right mix. And say,
you know,
like,
what's
this
crazy
is
about
team.
All of this is that there's a fine line, a very small fine line between being informative and being entertaining.
Yep.
Some guys try to be too informing to the point where you lose the audience, even though what they're saying makes sense, right? Other guys are trying to be too entertaining to where you don't get or understand what's going on. And there's only a handful of guys and combinations that can accomplish that, right? And so I think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they don't have as much of the silly stuff, but you get, you know, what's going on in the game, how everything's going, what, you know, Troy Aikman kind of breaks it down really good.
Troy's been great. I think Troy, like, at one point was pretty bland, and he hit, like, a point in his career. I think going to ESPN, like, he's gotten a lot more, like, he'll go after guys and say what he means. I mean, we saw that last year with the Dolphins.
So, I don't... The thing is, and I believe that we live in a world today where any criticism means you're going after a guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the analyst for a game and you say, or here's this, he shouldn't have did that. Here's what he should have did. That's not going after a player. That's explaining to people the difference in what they see versus what should have happened. That's not going after people, but we get so, everybody's so thin-skinned that we take that information and make it mean, oh, he's going after players now.
The league put up they threw the Tom Brady rules at Troy Aikman last week. They've officially
about
said,
what he can and can't do?
Yeah, he's not allowed to go to the team facilities anymore. He has to do Zoom meetings. And if I'm Troy Aikman, I'm like, that's a punishment? I get to do these things via Zoom? I don't have to go act like I like these people? Troy, you know, you're going to have to talk to Mike McDonald via Zoom. He goes, oh, man, tough. I don't have to go to Seattle early. What a punishment. Like, that's like if Troy Aikman's like, oh, man, you got me. I can't believe it. He goes, I should have been a consultant earlier.
Yeah, Troy. Well, I think that, you know what this does, though?
What's that?
Think about this. Let's think big picture here.
Hmm?
Troy Aikman has a good landing spot.
Yeah.
So he could tell ESPN, if you don't pay me, I'll just go do this full time.
I like that.
And I'll be happy with it.
I think he would be happy
now,
with that.
Now, sometimes these companies treat things as this is their only job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that this is the best you're going to get here at this network. But when you've done it long enough and you maybe just want to do something else, then you're not going to negotiate. Like, here's what it costs. Here's what I want. If not, I'll go do other things. I'm good. I've been doing this for a long time.
What if they stick Joe Buck with Pat McAfee and Aaron Rodgers next year after Aaron Rodgers retires?
Oh. Can you think Aaron Rodgers will be good doing the job?
No. That's why he puts okay.
He'll go on rants.
Don't you worry, Aaron. Just ride my coattails. Punting.
Right. Not for nothing, but how big would that love fest be?
Oh, my God.
Don't because, like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's my
you
worst
kinda, You know what? You kind of need two of the guys in the booth, if you have three guys, to go at each other
yeah.
and make fun of each other.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
That's my worst nightmare, actually. Don't even talk about it.
What?
Troy, if Joe Buck has to be stuck with Aaron Rodgers and Pat McAfee.
Oh, my God. That's just like, that's awful.
Joe Buck just leaves.
Yeah, I would.
Comes back. He goes, he does the opening broadcast, and then he can just put the headset down because they're just going to be rambling about conspiracies the whole time.
No, literally.
He makes some points, Aaron. Punting. We'll take a break. Back after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3. WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Hey, Taste of the Track is returning to Gulfstream Park on August 29th with the Taste of Havana. And we got a chance for you to win a 4-pack of tickets to go to enter. Go to the contest page at WQAM.com. I love all things Taste of Havana. That sounds delicious. Gulfstream Park, August 29th. Check that on out. Schmeath and Schmolnick statement in 3, 2. Anyway, Brittany, did you torture yourself yesterday? Because you see what happened again yesterday on social media out of Tampa Bay?
Yes, thanks to you.
There it is.
No, he asked. He asked me if I wanted to see it. He warned me.
Made me try a taste of salad. We can't. Are we not eat? We can't eat salad right now.
It wasn't his best work. I don't know if we're done, but now we have a new problem with eggs and chicken. So
I think everything's pretty much poisoned at this point.
Well, because there's no regulations.
There's no regulations. Nope. Yeah,
the FDA has been defunded.
Is that Doge's fault? Is that when Doge came through?
Doge, like
the Elon Musk group, was that when in the early goings? Or was something
no,
else that
it's
cut
because
FDA?
I'm trying to use the words. Our administration decided to take away funds from the FDA that helps with regulations.
Who needs them, right?
Yeah.
Who needs them?
Yeah.
Who needs safe food? Who needs it?
We just all walk around with bubble guts.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll just figure it out.
But now the egg. So yeah, actually, really be careful because the egg and chicken recall has been deemed like deadly.
Yeesh.
Also, mm-hmm. I don't even know. I got to look.
Yeah, please
look
be careful.
That,
Publix eggs are one of the problems.
Publix eggs?
Yes.
Yeesh. All right. Well, good to know. More obstacles. More obstacles in life.
Yep.
But anyway, if you want to feel better, if you're a Canes fan,
go tickle stick.
No, it doesn't make you feel better. Why are you lying?
Well,
to
I mean, if you're a Dolphins fan,
if you're a Canes fan,
sick to your stomach. But yesterday, Ruben Bain went viral once again because all of the reporters just kept marveling because he wouldn't leave the practice field, and they just kept reporting like Ruben Bain here for 30 minutes after practice, just alone doing moves on a blocking dummy, and then somebody's like, Ruben Bain here for 45 minutes, still here after practice. It's 105 degrees doing moves on a blocking dummy. Then he was there for over an hour working on this thing all by himself. And apparently he sets up the whole thing by himself. He's dragging it. Everybody loves him over there. And John Gruden got really upset because somebody accused Ruben Bain of being look at me. And he said some guy named Rugby star coach said, imagine making it all the way to the NFL preseason and thinking that the difference between getting picked up or not is reps against an inert sled that can't fight back. Unless this is just to be seen working, go rest, my guy. You have a game this weekend. And John Gruden said, maybe the dumbest statement ever. Go lay on your couch. You're not going to talk about John Gruden's Bucks.
Don't you dare.
Man.
He's the loss of my life.
Nobody ever questioned whether Ruben Bain wasn't going to be good. Like, I remember before the draft, some of the things they were saying, and you heard me yelling about it, Tobin. Turn on the damn film.
Right.
Like, when is the film going to speak for everything? We're so caught up in looking at numbers on a piece of paper, and the evidence is right in front of you. Just watch him. Now, all that being said, I understand why the Dolphins took an offensive lineman, especially Proctor. And it doesn't mean that, you know, Ruben Bain is not going to have success. People sometimes think, that if you choose one player over another, that that means you think one player is better. But I would say based on what the Dolphins were trying to improve, it was. But I don't know. No, I don't think anybody thinks that Reuben Bain is going to be a bad player. So from that standpoint, he's, you know what? Shame on everybody else who were looking at the paper and saying, oh, this is what, you know, this is why we can't take him that high, because we want the guy that looks like Tarzan, but not the guy that plays like Tarzan, you know? So, yeah.
SDI says he can work out all he wants. He still has arms that won't work in the pros. We'll see, really? Dude. I don't know. He's making some of these offensive linemen look pretty silly in Bucks camp.
By the way, I played with two Hall of Fame players that everything that came out was a negative about them. John Randall. John Randall was a low-round pick, undersized, had a motor like Reuben Bain, and guess what? He's a Hall of Famer.
We'll see Maui Noh tomorrow, right? Maui Noh will be here for joint practice. That'll be fun.
And another guy is Randall McDaniel. Oh. Randall McDaniel was a left guard that played at 265 pounds.
Jeez.
In today's NFL, 265 pounds.
How?
He was probably one of the smallest offensive linemen in the league, but he could run.
Did they try and fatten him up?
I mean, he could run, and he was strong as an ox. Mm. So guess what? All these guys that say we're going to put big guys in front of him, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, he's now a Hall of Famer. So when I say that, yeah, you can take some of that. You can take some of those things and help with your decision. But the number one overall decision should be made by what you see on tape. When you see a defensive lineman in any capacity running all over the field, you know, it's one of the things that I said I marveled at with Christian Wilkins. He was all over the field.
I don't know if it's just my out. Like, I just see a ton of it. Like, I don't see anything close to this with, like, Mezidor, you know, for example. Like, I just feel like the content, and then maybe people in Tampa are just like, hey, Reuben Bain content does numbers, and they're just putting out a ton of it.
Right.
But I just think it's...
Especially in Florida, because everybody, he's a Miami guy, and everybody down here thought they would draft him over Proctor.
I just, it does sting a little bit seeing everybody fall in love with him.
Is this the same thing with Phillips and Russo?
No, I don't remember Greg Russo having these kind of videos.
Well, no. I'm saying that didn't Russo go before Phillips?
The pick right before.
Right. So when you look at the two guys, like the decision was made to take Russo over Phillips. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really, though. Like, it wasn't position for position. Yeah. Like, they ended up taking a Hurricane at that point.
Right.
You know?
And it was position. Yeah, like, this isn't
like
position.
The
but it was the same position, so it would be more of a comparison.
Yeah, I mean, those guys were good players. I mean, they weren't – I don't even think either one of – I think if you were to ask Canes fans, like, because of how far the teams went, like, Bain and Mezidor are probably going to looked back upon more beloved than those two were.
Yeah, and they didn't play together, number one. They also, like, it was the right decision. Like, Russo would have gone before Jalen Phillips, even though he sat out a year. Because, like, Jalen Phillips retired from football, came back, had a major leg injury before he retired. And then it was like, you know, he only played one year down here. So I think Russo was the right decision. And he was younger, too.
I think the thing is, like, they had, you know, the offensive line definitely looked good in that first drive. You know, you're looking forward to seeing what more will look like as the year goes on, because I get it. Like, you definitely want an offensive line to protect Malik Willis. It's just, you know, I hope that this is, you know, puts kind of a rest on it for all the investment of high picks that they've had into that offensive line already, because they put a ton into it.
Right. And I think that's that's the key, is that when you look at it and you say, man, they've made a lot of investment at this unit, right? And still, you know, and still they need to address it.
I just looked at it. I didn't notice that Dre popped up right behind you.
He's been there the whole time.
Has he been there the whole time? He camos in with the...
He literally jumped on the couch and everything.
Didn't even see him. We'll take a break. Come back. We got the mixed bag coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. You guys can get in on the chat, YouTube, and Twitch. 104.3 WQAM on YouTube. Miami, 104.3 WQAM on Twitch. And it is that time where we like to mix things on up. We like to call this segment The Mixed Bag, You Rascals. Leroy, are you familiar with Baker Mayfield?
I am.
Baker Mayfield.
I am. Former Brown.
Former Brown.
Along with other teams.
The quarterback of the Bucs. Maybe a little disgruntled to start camp, but seems like he's put a little bit of that behind him. He feels like the Bucs are going to shock some people this year, is what he had to say.
I think we're going to shock a lot of people this year, and so I'm excited to just get on the road and do that.
Anything else?
You going to surprise people when you say you're going to shock people?
Yeah, I mean, embellish it. There's no embellishing. I think you can't avoid it. There's the TVs everywhere. I think everybody's... Yeah. Hell yeah, I am. Everybody's picking us probably to have a losing record, so we'll see.
Huh.
Which doesn't mean you won't be in the playoffs, because that division is, like, yikes.
It is a very weird division. It is a very weird division. To miss the playoffs...
It used to be the NFC West was that division, right? With Seattle and... Seattle
won. They had their run of being pretty wonky.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay. I mean, where are they on Super Bowl odds right now? Tampa Bay is plus 4,500 to win the Super Bowl this year.
How about to win the division? Plus 300?
Let's see. NFC South odds. Kind of think that they're one of the favorites in that division.
Yeah.
Right, hey. Dre? Tell them, dude.
Yo, get out.
The South. Yeah, Tampa's the favorite right now. Plus 170. Then the Saints. Then the Panthers, and then the Falcons. I don't think Tua's been good for those. I don't think Tua's been good for those odds. But yeah, Tampa's the favorite to win that division.
No barking. That's the rule in here.
Yep.
You bark, you got to go.
You got to go. Sorry, Dre. Meanwhile, favorite everyone's looking at, the Rams. Sean McVay has planned out how they're going to tackle Australia.
I would say the essence of what it really comes from is what we learned in COVID, that the more that we can keep guys in their normal rhythm and routine, the better off. And then there are certain things based on time zones, time allotted to adjust your circadian rhythm. But I'm a big believer that, you know, how long can we keep our players in a comfortable rhythm? Some of those things are outside of my area of expertise that I've been educated on. But everything that we do is geared towards what we think is best for our players. And that'll always be the case as long as I'm fortunate enough to be the coach here. And so that was really, you know, whether it's traveling from West Coast to East Coast, whether it's staying in Baltimore and traveling a little bit later than most teams are accustomed to, you know, in London. But what we do believe in is doing our research, trusting the people that are responsible for giving us the information, and then ultimately make the decisions that are best for our players. And they've done a really good job of being able to handle it. And I know it's after the fact, you know. So you know, it was a great thing in London because our guys played well and we had the result. But everything goes back to, you know, what we learned in COVID, where we used to travel on Fridays instead of just being mandated to travel Saturday. And then that kind of has just evolved, you know, a little bit ever since.
So all you do is add a couple of ums and you got Mike McDaniel. Because that... The hell did he say? Circadian?
I'm high as a kite, Yogi.
Circadian rhythm.
Circadian rhythm. When was the last time you had that, Tobin?
Don't think I ever have.
Yeah, me neither.
Physical, mental, behavioral changes that roughly go through a 24-hour cycle, controlled by a master clock in the brain. How about that?
I'm not that deep.
Yeah, me neither.
Just tell me what time we got to play.
Yeah, I don't think he... it's not the wrong term. Like, it's the proper term. It's just, like, it's a silly thing to say.
I bet you there was probably 30 reporters in there that typed on their phone.
Do you think that he just has a lot of caffeine, or do you think he's snow blowing?
I think he's just smart, and, like, he did ramble a bit, right?
How many coaches you think are using uppers? Because, like, Brittany sent us this clip yesterday of Dan Lanning from Oregon, and he looked high as a kite, Yogi. We already know that we had the the eyes of Adam Gase. We saw, of course, Chris Foerster.
At the Olive Garden.
I don't mean to be irresponsible with this, but is there a massive cocaine problem with coaches?
Yes. Here's what I would say. I can never be a coach. They spend an incredible amount of time. Right? An incredible amount of time preparing and doing what needs to be done to prepare the team for a game. Watching film on new recruits. I mean, new draft picks and picking up guys, and it's a lot of work. But I don't know. I can't go there. Like, that sounds crazy. Although
it does sound crazy, but we have seen some evidence of it in the past.
Yeah.
Speaking of uppers, Dan Campbell, he was speaking to local news in Detroit, and he says that he has changed his caffeine habits.
Are there any changes that you've made to the caffeine habits or the workout?
Well, no, I still work out every morning.
Well, that's clear.
I did do something to just, our guy Fish here told me to, hey, man, why don't you take this blood test? You know, they'll check all your levels, you know, your vitamins, hormones, all this stuff. And so a couple little things came out of it. I changed a couple of things. And yes, I did back down on caffeine. All right. It's not a gallon. It's a half a gallon now. All right. A day. So we're good.
Is that spread out from morning until when? When do you stop?
Most of the time it goes well into the evening. Yeah. And I'm one of those weird people, man. I can chug a cup of coffee right before I go to bed and I'm out cold.
I'm with
it
you.
Doesn't
hey,
keep
with
me
you.
Up. I don't know. So, yeah.
I would love to know what those blood tests came back saying on him. How much espresso was flowing through his veins.
Dude, like I drink. If I go past one cup of coffee when I pee, it smells like coffee.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. So I don't know how people could just drink that all the time.
Oh, he was throwing the extra shots into it, the whole deal.
Yeah,
he clearly doesn't have anxiety.
Like, it's crazy.
Because I might have more than...
Yeah, well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, Starbucks, I get two venti of the Pike with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day, so...
That's psychotic.
Wow. So he had to cut back a little bit because they were probably like, hey, your blood is like the Roadrunner right now.
By the way, I've been hooked on the internet watching live coyotes chasing live Roadrunners.
That's what you've been hooked on lately?
Yeah.
We got to take the internet away from
That's
you.
That's so odd. Oh, please. You're getting excited about Eurobasket friendlies. You're not.
What's that have to do with the internet, Brittany?
That's a lot to do with the internet.
What does that have to
do
with the internet?
He was going to go scout the French team to see if Wemby and Rudy Gobert were going to be playing today or tomorrow in a friendly.
Yeah, I am. You're not any better. I want to know who Jovic is going against.
You're not any better.
It's completely reasonable.
It's not.
Don't judge me.
Then don't judge him.
He's watching Roadrunners.
Let him.
Tate South says he's got about 3 years left.
No, like, that's unhealthy.
Listen, he's cut down.
That is, like you have to, especially being out in that sun and sweating, your body probably has to just drop. You can't stay hydrated. You have to be dehydrated all the time.
Didn't John Daly have to cut down on all his Diet Cokes? Because he was having like two, he was
well,
having
he was
like
drinking
two
all
sleeves.
Those Diet Cokes, so he wouldn't put a beer in his hand.
John Daly.
That's why he had always had a Diet Coke, because he could lie and say, you know, at least it's not beer. Hmm.
John Daly typically drinks about 10 to 12 Diet Cokes a day. Through his peak, though, he would have 12 to 20. So he, too, has cut back by half almost.
That's insane. But it has, like, arsenic in it. That's, like, a different level. Like, It has no sugar, but there's still caffeine in there. That's terrible.
What about Coke Zero? You think he switched on over to that?
I don't think that's any better for you.
Schmeathen says Dan Campbell's like Jason Statham movie, where he only is allowed to stay alive by using battery cables on his nips.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Imagine if Tobin got Dan Campbell's caffeine order.
I think I could take it down. I don't think I'd be too bothered.
Oh, you know, look at how you behave with a cold brew.
I behave completely normally.
No, you don't.
Nah, but Tobin runs on coffee, so it's not out of the, you know. Although I will say, the only time I've ever really drank more coffee than him, Vegas.
Yeah, because you liked your fancy cups.
Was your circadian rhythm off?
Oh, man.
Central time, like, really gets my circadian rhythm off.
Dude, we literally stood, we were on the little belt, you know, the little people mover, about ready to fight because he was so ridiculous.
Von Miller, he signed with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He explained what he has left in the tank.
I can still play football. You know, I can still play football, but, you know, I can still contribute in other ways. You know, on my Super Bowl teams, it's not just one person that gets it done. I think you can say what you want to say about my play on the field and what I got left. When it comes to being a great teammate, like, if it was a Hall of Fame for that, like, I'm going to the Hall of Fame first ballot. To be honest, I'm probably the best teammate that ever played in the National Football League. And, wow. I say that with all confidence in the world. My ability to get people around me to play at a level that they wouldn't normally play at, like, I don't think nobody does that like me. And I said the other day that I can contribute 10 to 15 plays. That's without even being on the field. So you got a game that you play 50 snaps, you know, 60 snaps, something like that. I can win 10 to 15 of those without me being even on the field, without my play, just by my knowledge of the game and getting everybody else to play the level that they wouldn't normally play at. So whether it's the defensive coordinator, defensive line, young guys, like, I can contribute in so many different ways to win games. And that's not even talking about the type of player that I still believe that I am.
Wow. Von Miller lacks confidence.
Okay, that's great. But he's already setting you up for the possibility of him sucking on the field, because he's already telling you that there's other things.
Yeah, he's giving you leadership,
right?
Leadership plays.
But didn't he also say he could roll out of bed and get 9 sacks?
8, yes, he did say that.
8 sacks. Okay, what's his over-under?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
I'm going under.
3.5?
Well, if he put 8 out there, they'll go 4.
So what? But if I put it at 3.5, you think he gets over? You think he gets 4 sacks? 4 sacks, is that possible for him this year?
The only reason why I would say it might be possible is because of who they have rushing inside. So sometimes a sack may get funneled to him. You see what I'm saying? So it depends on, is he going to be able to play enough plays to be that person that is out there? And when the quarterback gets flushed out.
Who's that dude who came to the Dolphins like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and he had like the greatest first month known to man? Was it Melvin Ingram?
No.
I think it was Melvin Ingram. Had like, he was like defensive player of the month.
Yeah.
And that's,
he had
all
like 4 sacks.
That's all he had. Yeah. But that was it. That's what we had.
That was it.
That was it. But he came in humming.
Humming.
Take a break. Get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.